Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a super bank holiday weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 1st of September. Coming up, how AI is being used in Kent's water network. And we hear from the Gillingham boss on a very busy transfer deadline day. But first on today's episode, this is one of our most read stories on the website at the moment. A well-known hotel in Maidstone, which was forced to close following a £500,000 refurbishment, could be turned into a 42-bed HMO. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us exactly where the hotel is?
Yes, so this is the Grange Moor, which is on St Michael's Road in the Fant part of the town. As you mentioned, a lot of money was spent on the building last year, but the owner was forced to shut in December following a drop in customer numbers. Owner Mark Smith had bought the property in 2023 after it had remained unsold for several years and had even been considered as a accommodation for asylum seekers.
And what does he think about the latest proposals?
Well, he's told us it's a positive solution for the building. Proposals which have been sent to the local council show the recently rebranded The Apartel would be turned into 42 co-living accommodation units with communal workspaces, a gym, community living area, laundry room, communal garden and allotment spaces. If approved, there would also be private parking, including electric vehicle charging, solar panels, bicycle storage and refuse and recycling areas. Mr. Smith goes on to say the development would create much needed housing for local people.
But it would seem not everyone thinks this is a good idea, Lucy.
That's right. One person who's written to the council about the plans says the infrastructure in the local area wouldn't be able to cope with such a development. They've also raised issues around crime and suggest the hotel either reopens or is demolished to make way for houses for families. Local ward councillor Kimberly Millam is also opposed to the proposals. She says we're losing our community spaces in Fant. We have a huge increase of residents and we're rapidly losing anywhere for them to meet, socialise, share interests, celebrate birthdays, hold meetings or even vote in the case of the Grange Moor.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. It's not known yet when a decision will be made, but you can see some CGI images of what the hotel would look like if the HMO plans are approved within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Got some crime news next, and a woman who stabbed her husband while cooking dinner at their home in Canterbury has told a court she feared she would do something bad. Ramun Valtukane suffers from schizophrenia and told a neighbour she hadn't been taking her medication when she carried out the attack in December last year. The 44-year-old from Cranemill Lane North has been given a 13-month prison sentence but has been released after serving time on remand. A Kent man's been arrested after a 15-mile police chase which left an officer injured. It's reported a van was stolen from a property in Swanscombe on Sunday afternoon and was followed all the way to Bromley. The Met Police carried out a tactical stop. A 23-year-old from Swanley remains in custody. A Dover man has been banned from contacting his former partner for 5 years after repeatedly calling her. A court heard Shane Hopgood also left unwanted voicemails. The 31-year-old from Kimberley Close admitted harassment. He's also got to do 80 hours of unpaid work. Meantime, a Gravesend man has avoided prison for stalking his ex-partner in a bid to win her back. Sean Clark sent notes, flowers and gifts to the woman and turned up at her house between February and September last year. The 36-year-old from Kemsley Close was given a 12-month suspended sentence, has been handed a restraining order and told to pay more than £200. Now, AI is being rolled out across part of Kent's water network to help reduce the number of storm overflows. Southern Water say they've been tasked with reducing the number of spill events at King's Hall in Herne Bay from 17 to less than 10 each year. They're doing it by installing tech which will learn how the network operates and then find ways to make the most of its capacity. Kate's been speaking to John Yates, who's from Southern Water.
So for King's Hall pumping station, we are looking at installing with a delivery partner of ours called Curatere, a system called Centaur. And Centaur is fundamentally a learning piece of software that enables us to manage how much water is going to the pumping station to then be passed forward onto treatment at May Street, Herne Bay, but without causing any detrimental or adverse effects to the network. And it does this by having a valve, a gated valve on the outlet to the pumping station. But that valve doesn't just move up and down. It moves in relation to the amount of capacity within the network already. So we will be using sewer level monitors, which we already have in our system, to monitor the performance of the network. And the valve will move up and down to allow what we call dry weather flow. So the amount of flow we would all normally anticipate to see on a dry day, this valve and system will be set to allow that flow through and use the network as essentially a storage tank that's already there. It's, you know, we're not building more storage tanks, but we are utilizing the capacity of the pipes and the network, but without having a detrimental effect. So it's a continuous learning piece. And to put it into some context, today we've had rain today. We can't shy away from the wet weather. But today we already have these systems installed in Whitstable at places called Tankerton Circus and Diamond Road. On Rivers and Seas Watch, which is our essentially our communication tool, which shows the performance of our networks, and anybody can access this. Diamond Road has activated today, whereas Tankerton Circus hasn't. They both have Centaur in. Diamond Road didn't activate because the flow pattern of the weather system was predicted to, if we'd have moved the gate, to have a detrimental effect to the area surrounding it. So it's allowed an activation to happen. Whereas Tankerton Circus across the last 7 days has been moving up and down with system performance and has actually saved two spills from our data over the last week. This type of thinking and systems-based thinking is what we're going to be implementing in Herne Bay as part of the works on King's Hall to go from 17 to 10, because we're unlocking the available network as a storage buffer for us. So it's very exciting, but it's a continual learning piece.
I mean, I don't envy you, John. It sounds like there's a lot of moving parts here, and you need to be on top of a lot of different things in order to bring down those numbers. From a consumer point of view, and from locals living in the area, as these sustainable solutions are rolled out, be it the AI or any of the other measures you're implementing, are we going to see any potential disruptions to supply? Or are there going to be any roads anticipated that we might need to dig up? Is there anything like that the public will need to be aware of?
Yeah, this has been one of our biggest learning curves as part of the Clean Rivers and Seas program of work, is actually the way in which we communicate out and the way in which we actually engage with our customers and stakeholders within the catchments. As far as we can, we will try and give as much notice to disruption and road closures as possible. So to do this, we are working very closely with the local authorities. We're working with Kent County Council. We're working with Canterbury City Council to understand the needs of Herne Bay, of Faversham, of Whitstable, so that we plan the works around the town rather than plan the works in terms of expediency to deliver. So we sustainability and doing the right thing is as one. So we will not come in and carry out emergency works, because we're not working on emergencies. What we're doing is proactive work to reduce storm overflows. And the way we do this is to communicate out as effectively as we can. One of the comments that we've had and we've really learnt from is certainly across Whitstable, and then as we move into Herne Bay, is actually dye testing. We carry out dye testing of the infrastructure. So this is using fluorescent green dye, so we can trace it. And a couple of times, both at public meetings or at scrutiny groups, we've had the comment, "We found green dye in the network." That's really simple for us to do. We know when we're going to be doing this work. We know what it looks like. We know where we anticipate where we're going to see this dye. So for us, we are trying to evolve and be better at going, by the way, Whitstable, Herne Bay, we will be carrying out this work. This is what you're anticipating to see. This is what it's going to look like. And we're trying to take that learning and thinking from not just the discovery work, but all the way through to construction. So for example, in September at Herne Bay at King's Hall, we'll be looking into a number of investigation works to enable this construction. We're working on that plan now to go to the local residents and customers, go to the stakeholders and say, this is the work we're planning to do. This is what you're going to expect to see. It's okay, it's not a problem, but this is everything that has to be in place to enable us to do the work. So it's a we are trying to limit disruption, but we appreciate that in some cases we're going to have to close roads, but it'll be done in a measured way. It'll be done in a timely way, not in a tomorrow way. It's very much this is when we're going to do it.
Kent Online reports.
The number of small boats crossing the Channel to Kent has fallen to a six-year low. 102 vessels were recorded over the summer. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood claims the government's crackdown is beginning to bear fruit, though reports suggest smuggling gangs are loading more people onto fewer, bigger dinghies. A Kent MP is being given a place in the Conservatives' shadow cabinet. Kemi Badenoch is carrying out a reshuffle with Tunbridge rep Tom Tugendhat due to take over from Priti Patel as shadow foreign secretary. Thousands of jobs could be created in Kent if plans for a new logistics park are approved. Panattoni wants to build the facility on 70 acres of land near the M20 in Lenham. It would initially include two large warehouses with a potential for another four. Bosses say it could create more than 2,600 new jobs in the area. The council will consider plans this month. A market in Maidstone is going to be able to carry on running while bosses consider the long-term future of the site. Last month, traders had started a petition after being told they'd have to leave their regular spot in the Lockmeadow part of town. The council's now decided they can continue to operate on Tuesday and Saturdays until a decision is made. Elsewhere, there are plans to build 240 new homes on the edge of another new build estate in Ashford. The Church of England purchased land on the edge of Finbury in the 1980s, but has only now earmarked the land north of Avocet Way for development. It would include residential and commercial properties. Full plans are yet to be submitted. Now, we've been hearing from the manager of a Kent farm shop who says business has boomed since the pandemic. Before COVID, weekend trade at the Brambledown farm shop on Sheppey would see around 750 sales. But that number is rising steadily and now sits at around 1,000. Boss Alex Dent says the lockdowns sparked a change in people's spending and eating habits, with a lot more looking for fresh, locally sourced produce. Trade has increased so much, the site off Lower Road has expanded and includes three new good shacks. Alex spoke to reporter Joe Crosley about what's on offer.
Farm fresh produce, as local as we can get it, depending on the season, and other produce from around the world. A very big pet section with horse and small holding, a in-house butcher, baker, the shacks for a high quality treat, and a car wash while you shop as well.
Excellent. So just talk to me about those shacks as well, because that's sort of been, I guess, the newest thing here. Can you just tell me about how that's all come about?
Yeah, so we had a seafood stall and a burger wagon here previously. John's come along and put his stamp on it completely, and I couldn't picture what he had in mind, but it's, yeah, that looks very amazing. The quality of the food is, I think, well, it's next level, really.
And you're telling me that's part of almost trying to make this place a destination, because you are a little bit out of the way, aren't you?
Yes, we're out of the way compared to the supermarkets and the other retail centres. So, yes, our plan for the extension and what we've got here now is to make it more of a destination, to make it worthwhile making this trip, especially with the diesel being as high it is.
An award-winning boutique hotel in Ashford is set to expand. Boys Hall opened in 2022 inside a 17th century former manor house, and last year became the first in the county to be awarded the Michelin Key. Now bosses are adding new guest cabins, a wild swimming pond and a sauna. Elsewhere, plans have been unveiled that would turn a holiday park on Sheppey into a multi-million pound hilltop village. The regeneration of Kent Parks off Warden Road in Eastchurch would see more than 1,000 caravans replaced with over 400 new homes. Part of the site would remain a holiday park. And a former Second World War gun tower near Faversham has been converted into a holiday yacht. The Beaufort's building in Dunkirk has been gifted to a charity for self-catering stays. It was originally built in 1940 to help protect a nearby radar station.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a busy day for the Gillingham manager, with a League Two fixture coinciding with transfer deadline. blind day. The Jills are away at Chesterfield tonight following a 1-1 draw with Northampton Town at the weekend. As well as that match, Gareth Ainsworth will be thinking about the transfers, with players able to come and go until 11 tonight. Well, the manager spoke after the weekend's draw about the deadline falling on match day.
Listen, we've got a great recruitment team in, and Joel Comper and Richard Dobson will lead up with getting everyone together on Tuesday. We won't be far apart. I think the intention is that we're all going to be together at the hotel, just so if anything does come up, we can all have a little rally round. And because I know what deadline day is like, you get the absolute curveball that you're not ready for, but believe me, we'll be ready, and we'll see. I've done some real good deals on deadline day. I remember Lewis Wing coming to Wickham, and a couple of boys, Scott Cashgate, Dominic Gabe, you know, last minute. And so if we can get, you know, a real gem on that last day, we will.
He's also suggested there could be more news before the day is done.
We've got good players here as well. There may be some potential outs clubs can come in for us, and, you know, if they start offering big money for our players, we're not a club who can start looking and going, wow, we have to keep hold of everyone. I kind of hope we will keep hold of everyone now, because I think the two that went out this summer, I mean, Sam really expressed that, you know, I want to go and test himself at high level, and as I've said, the money we made on Seb, you can't turn down, you know. So it's hopefully done on the outs, but the ins, definitely two more for me.
Now, we know one of those ins was 19-year-old Jack Daly, who signed on a season-long loan from Middlesbrough. The 19-year-old hasn't seen a lot of game time at his parent club and says he's keen to impress and play as many matches as possible. Elsewhere, a new gym has been officially opened at a leisure centre in Dartford. Retired sprinter and Olympian Adam Jamili helped cut the ribbon at Fairfield. It's part of a £1 million investment to upgrade the site. And members of a Kent Martial Arts Club are celebrating success at the World Karate Championships. Six athletes from Yates in Dartford were chosen to represent England in Romania. They won 10 medals between them. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.